strange. And I need you more than want you. And I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the
Glenn Campbell and Wichita Lineman here on KATE Afternoons with Aaron at 2:10. And it is a Tuesday, which means, of course, it's a Tom Jones Tuesday here on KATE. Our good buddy, of course, Jonesy joins us. And Tommy, a good afternoon. How's your day treating you?
Oh, so far so good, Aaron. And looking forward to officiating a B-Squad boys game at 4:30 and watching my son at 6 and watching the varsity at 7:30 at Southwest. So, I mean, at the high school, I should say. So, yeah, good day so far. Weather's nice. Can't complain.
Yeah, let's talk about Tiger Sports and Northfield in town for the boys basketball team. The girls will be at Northfield. I had talked to assistant coach Carol Hansen with the girls team earlier this week via email. She said Taya Jeffries is 70 points away from breaking Bryn Woodside's record. So we're talking just a, you know, maybe three games, maybe four games, and that record's going to fall.
Yeah, I would think so. They play, of course, tonight, and then they play East on Thursday at home. And then Saturday is the Albert Lee Worthington Jamboree in the afternoon, if you want to call it that. So I would guess that game on Saturday, I think it's at 6 o'clock against Worthington, might be when the record falls. So get out and watch her play. She's an amazing young lady, an amazing athlete.
Yeah, Tanya Jeffrey again trying to overtake a Bryn Woodside. 70 points to go. If she doesn't get it done this week, then for sure I would assume on Tuesday when they have a home game. We're going to have that game for you coming up on KATE. So we might be out there for the big milestone. And, you know, you got a chance to watch a Bryn Woodside play for so many years. And what's really cool is that Bryn went to Jamestown, North Dakota for college. And Jeffrey, she's headed to the same spot. And they could be 1-2 in history when it comes to top scores for Albert Lee girls basketball. Compare the two. You know, you've seen Bryn play. You've seen Taya play. I mean, they're both very good basketball players. Are their styles at all similar in your mind?
Yeah, that's a great question, and you're right. I have watched them both very closely. I actually coached Bryn in the seventh grade school ball. We went 14-0, and she had just that amazing intestinal fortitude, maybe I should say, that her brother Ben had, where if you were down 4 or 5 points, she just said, give me the ball, we'll have the lead, and would get that ball and just take over the game. And it was amazing to be able to coach her and watch her. Not only that, I knew her very well, and both her and Ben. And, of course, Paul Woodside, their dad, I went to school with, and I got to watch her mom, Robbie, too. So as far as the overall, that's a great question. I would say that Taya is probably a better outside shooter. Taya has wonderful with her right hand and her left hand. Bryn had such a quick step. She had so many layups in her career because of her speed and ability to get. But Bryn also had a wonderful pull-up jump shot. I would give Taya the edge with the left hand a little bit over Brynn, but just two amazing people. Not only that, on or off the court.
Again, they're on the road coming up tonight. Did you say Thursday? Are they on the road or are they at home on Thursday?
Thursday, they are home, and that's a change in the schedule, too, where Mankato East, believe it or not, does not have a JV team. So they're going to play the ninth grade game at 6 o'clock with three officials. The JV girls that are sophomores are playing on, going to get some minutes there, which includes my daughter. And then the JV girls will also dress for the varsity game after that. So no JV game on Thursday. As of now, Worthington's coming in with a JV as both boys and girls on Saturday. So we'll look forward to that. I know I'm officiating the girls' JV and the ninth grade on Saturday. So it'll be a lot of basketball out at the high school.
The girls' game, that was scheduled first for Saturday, and then the boys find a day to make it up. So the boys are playing first on Saturday at 5:30, and the girls' varsity is playing after around 7:30. Is that correct?
Oh, okay. You know what? You could be right on that. I'd have to look. All I know is there's one at 6 and one at 7:30 for both boys and girls. So.
Okay. So, yeah, get out to the gym.
Go on the Big Nine. Yeah, go to big9.org and you can find that out if you, when you're listening at home here.
I know I have the sheets here somewhere. I'll pull that up and make sure we share that information. So a doubleheader going on for boys and girls basketball this Saturday again. Taya Jeffrey, 70 points away from breaking Brynn Woodside's record and becoming the all-time top scorer for Albert Lea girls basketball. Jonesy, I have to give you credit on your guru analysis when it comes to the Minnesota Vikings, but it's not done yet because it's going to take months to figure out if Cousins is still here for next season. Two are done. Two are gone. We know that. Spielman and Zimmer. Once a new GM comes in, once a new head coach comes in, then the future of course, a Kirk Cousins will be decided at that point. But I give you credit, my friend. You're correct. Those two went away. I thought for some reason they would stick around for maybe one more year. So since you thought this, obviously no shock to you when you heard this on Monday.
Not really. Maybe a little bit of a shock on Spielman. He's had some good drafts over time. But, you know, I think they just wanted to clean the house out, clean the slate out. I think replacing a GM is going to be a lot harder than finding a new coach. There's a lot of coaching candidates out there, including, I guess, a offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. I don't know his name, but I read a little bit about him. But yeah, the GM's going to be a little bit tougher, I think, and it'll be interesting to see what all comes out about that. And I know the Star Tribune had a story today about what the returning veterans want in a coach and a GM, and I didn't have access to it because I've used up all my free looks on the Star Tribune site. But it's out there if somebody gets the paper or has it online. So it's definitely going to be an interesting offseason for the Minnesota Vikings. And the hard part, Aaron, I think for me, and you can understand this too, in your closeness to sports and the Vikings, that you're not going to turn it around in one year. And now you're looking at another 3-4 years before you probably get back and have a really strong winning season, maybe three, but we'll see. Could be wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's still plenty of parts that if they don't blow this whole thing up, they could be easily a contender next year. I think a lot has to do with what Aaron Rodgers decides to do with Green Bay, because if Rodgers steps down and retires after this year, and there's so many rumors about him, then you would have to say the Vikings would probably be the favorite to win the NFC North. So next year we could be right there back in the hunt for a division title, a home game in the postseason, especially if Aaron Rodgers decides to hang it up, which, again, with him, it's hard to tell. That's kind of a wait-and-see thing.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think you look at what the Vikings need is maybe another lineman. I think that they probably a cornerback or two might be good. I think they're awfully young in the secondary, but that's going to come around. Those guys are going to have a little bit more experience. And the defensive line, too, I think maybe could use another premier pass rusher. But I thought they lost three games on the last play. So you take that, whatever, 8-9, it could be an 11-6 if things go your way. But they didn't, and you end up with a new GM and a new coach. So,
you wonder if some of the misses that Minnesota's made, not on draft picks specifically, but the one I see that has got to be driving the Minnesota Vikings crazy, the Wilfs, is Daniel Carlson. the kicker for the Las Vegas Raiders, because I think we cut him after like 2 weeks. We drafted him, and you never use a draft pick on a kicker. But that year we did, and Carlson has been phenomenal. He won, I think, three or four games as time expired for the Raiders. That one sticks out, is that whoever decided to cut a kicker after a few weeks, that's a tough one to get over.
It kind of is, but then you say, well, he's a kicker, but there's a good example of why a good kicker is important. I thought the rookie kicker that we'd taken from Tampa was a pretty good kicker this year for us. He showed a good leg and pretty good accuracy out there, so he's certainly one we're going to build on. Special teams, like the kickoff returns, one thing amazed me there, Aaron, you go to all the home games, I believe,
yep,
that we would see a kickoff go 2 or 3 yards in the end zone, and they would down it. And in the old days, you'd see guys taking off from the 8 yards deep in the end zone, and you didn't see so much that this year, and I'm not sure what the reason of that is, but they must be satisfied taking it at the 25-yard line. But I thought our kick returner this year was a premier kick returner and somebody to certainly build around.
Tom Jones Tuesday here on KETE at 220 afternoons with Aaron. We are big baseball fans, Jonesy, of course, both of us. And we had the story on today that Major League Baseball and the Players Association are going to meet on Thursday in the first negotiations between the parties since the labor talks broke off back on December 1st. To me, it just seems strange, and I haven't dug too deep into this story, that it's taken them this long to finally have some kind of meetings, because I think it's like February 13th or 14th, spring training, just over a month away, starts in Florida and Arizona. Jonesy, your thoughts? I hope they get this done. I just don't understand why they took such a long period of time before they come back to the table and try to work this out.
No doubt. In fact, we were talking about that with some of my friends this morning and thinking they got to get together. This is the first I've heard you talk about what you just said right now. They're getting together. So I'm glad to hear that. And I don't know what their big issue is. Of course, their labor agreement ended, so they got to redo a few things. But baseball took a black eye in one of the years where they didn't come back in the spring training. And I don't think that they can afford to do that now with the price of tickets and the salaries escalating as much as they have. And of course, you've got all these free agents out there sitting there saying, am I going to go anywhere, or am I going to be staying put, or you're going to have some collusion there, I think. And that it's going to be an interesting 4 weeks. It's going to be a race to spring training, in far as I'm concerned. And the teams can have their minor leaguers, you know, that's not part of their contract or the labor agreement. So minor leaguers are going to be reporting down there, but I just think it's strange. Yeah, you're right. Why it's taken so long, and hopefully they can get this taken care of, because we all love baseball.
February 16th, that's when spring training starts in Florida and Arizona. Last a work stoppage, of course, that 7.5-month strike back in 1994 to 95. At the time, my White Sox and the Montreal Expos, I believe, were the two best teams in baseball, a World Series, of course, that did not happen. And you got people that got jobs. They're going to be taking tickets, working concession stands. I mean, you feel bad for those behind-the-scenes people that make the game day experience happen. I mean, you got workers all over Florida and Arizona wondering, hey, do I got to report to work in over a month to, again, sell merchandise, sell food, whatever the case might be. So, you know, we talk about the owners and we talk about the players, but there's such a trickle-down effect. Jonesy, there's no way they can let spring training go away. There's no way.
No way. Absolutely not. And it's even we saw with the COVID a couple years ago there when they didn't get things, or they just stopped on a dime and ended spring training. And there's so much going on. And the thing we miss out on, Aaron, and you've been very involved in this in the past, of the Twins caravans, both Mankato, and they've come to Kate Radio in the past, and they go to KAUS and Mason City. And I know they have a few caravan dates set. I don't know where they are, or I think they're kind of just going to maybe one a day in some bigger towns, but that's the stuff that gets me to buy the ticket, coming into Albert Lea, coming into Kate Radio, having them on the air, things like that, that the grassroots really for baseball fans appreciate when they come to your town. But without having any contracts with the big league players, they don't have much of a caravan. I would assume their caravan this year, we were talking with Neil Pierce, it's probably just retirees and minor league prospects this year. I don't know if you have any more insight on that, Aaron, but just a weird offseason, no doubt about it.
No, I'll definitely do some research on winter caravans. They had to cancel the annual Twins Fest once again, but that, I think, had, well, I take that back. It probably would have been canceled because of COVID, but with a work stoppage, I suppose you can't host any kind of Twins Fest. The players cannot report to a Major League Baseball sanctioned event, so I'm assuming that's why they had to put a fork in that one is too.
Yeah, no doubt, and it's too bad that all this has happened. Let's talk about the Minnesota Wild if we can. I got a lot of hockey blood.
You got a lot of hockey, okay.
And I enjoy watching the Wild, and what an overtime win they had the other night. That's just amazing what they're doing up there. And they had that on a Saturday night downtown St. Paul. That town must have been rocking after that win. And now I understand their Wednesday game and is being canceled because of COVID, and I think it's because it's a Canadian border game.
Yeah,
Yeah, they're fun to watch, and that Kaprizov, his quick wrists and his quick shots and the passing on that team just is amazing to watch.
You know, I haven't looked up to see the latest status on Kirill Kaprizov. He was hurt in Thursday's win against Boston, that game on Saturday, shootout win against the Capitals. Did you see the goal? And I still haven't taken the time to look up the replay where Washington scored on themselves. Did you see that at all?
Yeah, I did. And they were, I believe, on the power play, and the puck was on behind the net on the left side of the goaltender for us, and they went to use the board as a passing back to the point in the path of the board. The spot the player hit the board wasn't a good spot, and that puck just deflected and rolled all the way down the ice and right into the goal. And it was fun to see the reaction of the Minnesota fans. They showed on the Bally Sports replay of it. And I don't know if I've ever seen, sometimes you see it in a scramble in front of the net where a player deflects it in, but never, that's something you see out on the lake when you're playing hockey behind your house or at the rink, but never in an NHL game. And it was great to see that. And then of course they got the tie goal late in the game and won it in overtime. Amazing overtime win there.
Yeah, next game for the Minnesota Wild Friday night. They're going to host the Anaheim Ducks. We'll have that game for you right here on KATE. Up in Canada, it's got to do with COVID. It also has to do with the Canadian teams don't want to host an arena that's half full or empty because there's obvious money to be made. And coming up in February when they have that two-week break where they already scheduled a break because of the Olympics, and NHL players are not participating in this year's Olympics. They're hoping at that point that the Canadian restrictions will be that you can fill, or whatever province these different teams are in, they're hoping that those restrictions will be removed by that two-week window so they can make all this up with 100% capacity. So the NHL, they're going to have some guys really doing some good scheduling work there, Jonesy, because there's a lot of games to make up. There's going to be some crazy flying from this town to this town for some of these hockey teams.
Oh, I can't imagine how they're going to do it. I mean, they will, but it's going to be a lot of red-eye flights for these teams, and they'll figure it out, though. There's too much money involved in that. And, you know, we can talk Minnesota sports quickly. We'll talk about the success, I guess we can use that word, for the Timberwolves, and now that they seem to be all back and healthy, they are playing some pretty good basketball. So what an exciting team to be watching and cheering for this winter.
They're 20-20. They're taking care of teams that they should beat, and they'll try to do that again tonight when they get New Orleans on the road. All the action right here on KATE. Again, Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. Jonesy, like always, thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk next Tuesday, and we'll have you on the broadcast a week from tonight when we have girls basketball against Winona. And Jones, you'll also be on the broadcast a week from Friday, January 21st, when the boys host Red Wing at the high school. Jonesy, thank you like always, and we'll talk soon.
I'll send some scoreboard updates to you Thursday night. So have a great rest of your week.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you, Jonesy. 2:28 afternoons with Aaron. We're going to check on news from the Minnesota News Network coming up next.
What's all the buzz about nasal irrigation and Navage, and should I try it? Here's the science. Airborne germs invade through your nose. It's the body's air.